Come on, tap that. Oh, all right. Let me open the House Committee on Rural Communities, Land Use, and Water. Today is Thursday, May 7th, and we are here for a couple of public hearings on bills. I don't see Senator Johnson at the moment. Is she? Let's give her about 10 or 15 more seconds here and see if she's going to make it.
Martin will give us a rendition of
Okay, well, let me open a public hearing on Senate Bill 548. And what we're going to do real quick here is we've got one senator on a short schedule to talk about this Senate bill. Then we're going to switch back over to the... it's so short. Maybe we can get through. We may be able to get through this House bill quick, in 5 minutes, if that's okay with you, Representative. Kind of hear her out there. How about I get the other two, Justin and Michael? Do you want to come up? At least so you're seated already. And
Senator Johnson's casting a vote right now.
Oh, she's casting a vote.
Okay. How about you two come sit down?
This seems like kind of a wall.
Yeah. Okay, why don't you tell us about this bill?
Great, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Justin Martin. I'm here today on behalf of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, where I'm also a tribal member. We are here in full support of Senate Bill 548. We believe that it continues the strong Oregon tradition of the government-to-government relationship, but in a context not with states and tribes, but with counties and tribes. We were able to get the bill over here in a unanimous fashion, and another interesting aspect of the bill is that we had all 36 counties in support, and I will yield my time to the senator. Okay. As you've heard me say many, many times before, Oregon can be proud. We can all be proud of the relationship that we have with Oregon's 9 sovereign, federally recognized Indian tribes. We've got a deep history from the creation of the Commission on Indian Services under then State Senator Governor Attia, to deletion of offensive language on Oregon geographic board names, to creating an Indian education specialist within the Oregon Department of Education, to dealing with illegally held archaeological objects, and to certifying tribal police officers as peace officers recognized throughout the state, regardless of reservation boundaries. We have done wonderful things. We believe Senate Bill 548 is a continuance of that, and we're here today to ask for your support, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, Senator Johnson.
I'm with him. For the record, Betsy Johnson, I represent Senate District 16. Mr. Martin has covered the beneficial elements of the bill. It carries on the tradition, just as he said. It brings tribes up on equal footing with other governmental entities. It is a good bill, and I hope the committee passes it forward.
Mr. Mason, what do you got for us?
Well, thank you, Chair Clem, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Michael Mason. I'm here on behalf of the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians. And Chair Pigsley, D. Pigsley, sends her regrets that she cannot be here today. She's in meetings that were scheduled some time ago. The Siletz Tribes do not oppose the bill. They understand that there's certainly value to the bill. It is carrying forward the government-to-government relationship and can result in certainly some positive effect in terms of regaining land that tribes have lost. And tribes in Oregon have lost a lot of land. I mean, the Western Oregon tribes lost virtually everything in the termination era. And so it's important in the legislature. It's important, and the legislature has acknowledged this in policy, to assist in any way we can to regain that land base. There are a number of examples of that that the legislature has passed over the years. The concern that they have, and they've requested an amendment on this, but the concern that they have is that situation that arose when that could arise that took place to some extent in the Southwest that I had to deal with when I was at the Solicitor's Office of Interior, and that's one tribe buying land in another tribe's reservation or immediately adjacent to another tribe's reservation. And the situation arose there where the Navajo tribe had bought land inside the Hualapai Reservation in Arizona and then asked to have the land put in trust. Well, in other words, reservation within a reservation, which, and there was no law against that, but it seemed like a bad idea at the time and still does. We refused to go along with it when I was at Interior. So just that idea of, you know, doing a positive thing with encouraging counties to make land available for purchase by tribes and giving them a priority on that, good thing. The tribe's just concerned about not giving a priority or at least a right of first refusal if the land is either on another reservation or within the former reservation of a tribe. So that's basically the concern that Chair Pigsley has asked me to bring to you.
Okay. Any questions? Vice Chair Post.
I'm going to speak on behalf of Representative Gomberg. So what is the emergency?
Chair Clem, Representative Post, it has been an objective of my tribe, Grand Ronde, ever since restoration in 1983, to continue to acquire as much land in our Aboriginal territory as possible. And we look to Polk, Tillamook, and Yamhill counties to do that. This is another opportunity with that. We've been working with Tillamook County. We've identified some properties that we're interested in, and we think it's a mutually reciprocal benefit on some of those opportunities. I'd also like to point out, Mr. Mason makes a very good point, that this bill is not about putting land into trust. This bill simply recognizes federally recognized tribes on equal footing as state government and federal government for the ability of a county to sell or convey that land. The process that is in place through the Secretary, through Interior, would continue to remain in place. So other tribes would have that opportunity to comment, just like other communities and other members of those communities and other citizens have that opportunity to participate in that very public forum with that. So this bill does none of that, and as Mr. Mason mentions, we still have that in place through federal law in that trust land into trust process.
Thank you. And if I may, Betsy Johnson, Mr. Martin spoke on behalf of the tribe. I'll speak on behalf of Tillamook County. Commissioner Mark Labhart has been over to this building on multiple occasions about this bill. I am not a fan of emergency clauses, and I frankly think they have been used inappropriately in a number of instances in this legislative session. This one, however, recognizes the fact that Tillamook County is prepared to execute on some transactions. A lot of paperwork has been done. The process is in place, and I think that there's a certain element of seize the moment. While there are willing buyers, willing sellers, the paperwork's done. It's been through local process. Everything is set to go.
That's to the point. I'm glad you did that because, yeah, we're seeing a lot of it. And when there's a deal, obviously, that needs to get taken care of, that's great. We're seeing a lot of the emergency clauses. So Representative Gomberg and I have kind of been pursuing that agenda for the entire session.
Appropriately so, if I may editorialize, and thank you.
Representative Vic Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your testimony. Even with the caution, which I appreciate, I am very supportive of this bill, and I think it's an excellent addressing of the emergency clause, and so I hope we will all move forward. If you'll permit me, Mr. Chair, I'd like to just quickly go back to your comments, Mr. Martin. That was a wonderful thumbnail history that I haven't heard you summarize like that before. But I wanted to ask you, is there one other piece that would be worth mentioning? And many of the things you mentioned, I'm glad to have been part of as a legislator. But many years ago, a president who shall remain unnamed made a terrible mistake. And we disbanded tribes in an effort, a very foolish effort, to amalgamate our cultures in America. And then there was a period of time when someone, I think from our state, was helpful in restoring those. Mm-hmm. Could you make a mention of that for the record in the context of your little historical thumbnail?
Absolutely. Mr. Chair, Representative Gilliam, during the Restoration and Reservation Act periods of a lot of the terminated tribes in Western Oregon, as Michael mentioned, six of the nine tribes in Oregon were terminated. We certainly looked to our wonderful Senator Mark Hatfield to help us through those processes. He has been there, was there for us, and we are eternally grateful, along with President Reagan, for signing both the Restoration Act and the Reservation Act.
Thank you very much.
Sorry. Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman, just a quick comment. I thank Representative Post for bringing up the emergency clause question for the panel's benefit. We trade off on asking that question on a regular basis. Sure. In this particular case, I'm familiar with the background situation here. I'm very comfortable with moving through this in an expedited fashion. I wanted to thank all three of you for being here. As you know, maybe the committee does not realize, I represent the southern part of Tillamook County and both of these tribes, so I'm glad to see everybody working together on a resolution of this issue.
Okay. Further questions? Okay. Seeing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 548 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2640 and ask Representative Kennemer to join us. While he's in transit, I was looking for an adjective to refer to a certain someone, and I was going to use the term statuesque. Then I realized that the definition is having a tall and shapely form, particularly used often when applying to a woman. So I thought maybe I would hold that back.
But then again, you didn't.
But then I didn't.
It fits.
Representative, welcome to the House Rural Communities Land Use and Water Committee. And do you want to tell us about House Bill 2640, or the issue generally, whatever you prefer?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Bill Kennemer, State Representative, District 39. Which includes portions of the Boreen area. I want to provide a little bit of background, and then I'm sure there will be plenty that others have to say. I introduced this bill, as you note, at the request of the Boreen Community Planning Organization. They have some concerns, and I will let them mostly get into their concerns about their involvement with Metro, and Metro has some important matters to discuss with you as well. It gets a little complicated, but I think a little tiny bit of history might be helpful. The current boundary emanates from a decision back in 1977, and there's a little bit of time that's transpired since 1977. And among those are the circumstances surrounding the area of Boreen, which is in East Clackamas County. And that is that to the north, in Multnomah County, Gresham has expanded very, very dramatically and in large measure urbanly. And this development is right there, butting up to this, at this point, relatively rural area. And then on the east side, at the other end of the boundary, is the community or the city of Sandy, which has been expanding some, not as dramatically as Gresham by any measure, but again, exerting influence. And then to the west was supposed to be the city of Damascus. And as you know, that's been having a rather tough course over the last 12 years, and I suspect that it will ultimately be disbanded in the upcoming elections. And all of that has caused the portion of boring to sort of coalesce. On the portion in the current urban growth boundary is about half of the available area that the community considers as boring. And the CPO, the Community Planning Organization of Boring, is perhaps, as I'm a former county commissioner, the most active CPO in the county. They have rather large regular meetings and a very active community base, and I think you're going to find that they are asking for a significant voice in determining their future and also determining what area is their territory. So I think at that I've probably summarized most of it. I think there's a concern that there needs to be some communication and some working out and adapting from a decision that emanates really from 77 and trying to figure out what we do in this current time, especially since Damascus is not developing rapidly as was anticipated. I appreciate very much your taking this on. And it may be the kind of thing that needs to move towards some work group discussion or some other modality. I'm not sure. I'd leave that to your discretion. I would point out I do not live in Boring. I support strongly that they have a voice in their future, and I don't have a specific recommendation to make to you about their future. I think they're the ones that need to determine that.
Okay, any questions for our colleague before we start getting into the folks here to talk? Representative McLean, sorry.
Thank you. I agree with Representative Kinnamer that a work group is probably the right decision. I support that and his request.
Anything else before we get into the witness list? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Much appreciated.
You bet. Let me call Stephen Bates, Sharon, maybe that's Cornish, and then Roxanne Ross up. And then after that, we'll have our Metro president. Is the president the right term? Yeah. Tom Hughes and Randy Tucker, and then we'll come back over to Michael Fitz, Jack Esp, and Les Poole. Start with you three, please. And Stephen, I've got you first signed up.
Thank you, Chair Clem, Vice Chair Helm, Vice Chair Post, and committee members. Thank you for hearing this bill, and I wish to thank each of you who have personally met with me. I'm Steve Bates, for the record, a 38-year resident of Boring, Oregon, and I'm here to talk to you about my community. While the vast majority of my neighbors can't be here today, 697 are here by proxy. As a part of the record, there is a petition that was signed by 697 signatories, which represents about 30% of the registered voters in the area of Boring that is within the metro boundary. To further talk about this issue is the fact that half of Boring is in the metro boundary and half of Boring is outside of the boundary. What we're referring to is the boundaries established by the Boring Community Planning or for the Boring Community Planning Organization by Clackamas County. This area has a population of about 5,000 people with a footprint of about 100 city blocks wide. This Boring Community Planning Organization area has the metro boundary going right down the middle of it. Half of this area is in metro and half is outside. Half of the Boring CPO boundary is in an urban reserve, and half of the Boring CPO boundary is in a rural reserve. I might add that it's terrible that this has happened because there are more active agricultural acres in the urban reserve than there are in the rural reserve, which brings another subject for another day. The community of Boring looks to the east for its sense of community. We don't look to the west. We share a high school with the good people of Sandy and the villages of Mount Hood. We also share a deputy sheriff with the villages of Mount Hood. Our community is rural in nature, just like the city of Sandy and Estacada areas, which are to our east. We hold little in common with our neighbors to the west, yet this is what Metro wants us to look forward to. The urban reserve status puts us next in line for the urban growth boundary. The only way for us to take control of our future, according to the Metro Code, is to become a city. Yet Metro says only the portion within the urban reserves can become a part of the city. Furthermore, Oregon statutes state that there must be a buffer between the current urban growth boundary and the new city boundary. With these rules, Boring cannot become a city because it leaves us with a footprint of about 30 city blocks wide, one-third the size of the city of Damascus, and not large enough to generate enough tax revenue to sustain a city, especially when you consider Measure 5 compression. Boring has no chance for survival under Metro's rules. Eventually, based upon Metro code and past practices, parts of the Boring community will be forced to become a part of another city. We're talking into the future, I realize that, but that's what we're looking for. That's what planning is all about, is looking to the future. But Boring wants to continue its mixed-use rural atmosphere. That is what we want, that's what we like, that's what we are. Under the current Metro rules, we cannot have a supermarket located within our community. On average, each of us travel 10 to 15 miles round trip to acquire meat, fresh fruit, and vegetables for our families. That does not help the environment. We wish for all of Boring to be under the LCDC administrative rules administered by Clackamas County. We wish to be in a position that we can come back and talk to you about the issue I referred to about the urban reserves and the rural reserves. We need to be able to upzone to allow for a supermarket for the Boring community and also for additional jobs. We need and propose a plan that will accomplish mixed land use, agriculture, industrial, commercial, and residential. We want Boring to be a community that makes sense and remains friendly and rural. This is not an anti-Metro bill. This is a Save the Community of Boring bill. Committee members, if you can't move this bill by rule, which I understand that the timeline is passed, but I ask you that you consider taking House Bill 2640 and referring it to the Rules Committee as an amendment to House Bill 3543. Please give Boring a chance for survival. We have a 112-year history as unincorporated Clackamas County. We wish to have a 112-year future. Again, thank you for having this hearing.
And Sharon?
Hello. I'm old enough to know the alias of Metro.
Can I just need to say your name?
Sharon Cornish.
Thank you.
I'm old enough to remember, before Metro was formed, it was CRAG, Columbia Region Association of Government, but they couldn't get a tax base. So they borrowed the zoo, and people thought they were voting for the zoo, and Metro was formed and got their tax base. I get along with Metro fine. I love Tom Hughes. I love Timmer. I love Harrington. But it's another layer of government. Look at your tax bill. It's exactly the same twice. It is. I'm going to give you a Bible verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It's always money. We are a free people. Let these people have what they want in a town where they live. Why do we always have to have the thumb of government on us, telling us how we have to live? Huh? How? We are a free people, are we not? The Constitution better come to light again. These people want what they have, not what they will be. Please think. Think real hard. Give us what we used to have, not what's coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. And Roxanne?
Hello, my name is Roxanne Ross, and I live in Gresham. Thank you, Rep. Clem, and the committee for allowing us to be heard today. I've been going to CPO meetings, and I just wanted to make sure that you understood that this was not a small group of people, you know, who were highly organized that had put this together and gathering all these signatures. When you go every month to the CPO meetings, you really get a sense of their community because they fill that room with people who are interested in the land use in the Boring area. And I've watched them debate, and I've watched them come to the decision that they needed to petition. And even though it seemed like a mountain would have to be moved in order to get any action on this, that's where their passion is, and they just keep trying. You know, they just want to be able to live in their community in the way that they have, and to preserve that way of life. And they want the consistency that part of their neighbors aren't going to be pulled one way while the other part is pulled another. So I just ask that you help to preserve their identity as a community by allowing this change to occur.
Okay, any questions for this panel? Okay. All right, thank you for coming down. Tom and Randy, do you want to come up? And I don't know if you have anybody else. Oh, see, there we go. That's what we like right there. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Randy Tucker. I'm the Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify today on House Bill 2640, which you will not be surprised to hear that Metro does not support. I'm going to make a few comments, and I'm going to yield the floor to the much more compelling, nuanced, and eloquent comments of the Metro Council President, Tom Hughes.
I want you to refer to him as the beloved.
The beloved. Excuse me for that, too. I'm going to just touch on three topics. The withdrawal of territory by the legislature from a home rule government. The notion that Metro's jurisdictional boundary somehow creates a divided community in Boring, and the ways that Boring is a part of and not completely separate and apart from the greater metropolitan region that we serve. First of all, on the withdrawal of territory, I'm not aware of any precedent for the legislature to directly withdraw territory from a home rule jurisdiction without the consent of that jurisdiction. You do have the example of Damascus you've already acted upon this session. In that case, a couple of differences. One is that created a process for the withdrawal of territory rather than withdrawing the territory directly. And it also occurred only in an extraordinary circumstance where the city had completely failed to carry out its legal responsibilities for several years. It's a claim that can't be remotely made about Metro. Other than that, you may recall the change of the boundary between Washington and Multnomah counties in the 2013 session. That was a consensus-based process that you undertook at the request of the parties for a clearly identified purpose of providing public services effectively to that area. So that contrasts in every way with the bill that's before you today. Second, I'll touch on the notion that Boring is a divided community. It was interesting, actually, to hear Representative Kennemer note that he represents part of the community of Boring. There are, you know, hundreds of districts in this state, 36 counties, 240-some-odd cities. They all have boundaries. Some people live on one side of those boundaries. Some people live on the other. It's completely unremarkable that some areas are going to have a boundary running through them. Portland is in three counties. Lake Oswego and Tualatin and Wilsonville are each in two counties. No one considers those divided communities. There's not a consequential way in which that matters significantly, and I would argue that that's the same in this case. To the extent that different areas within Boring are treated differently for planning purposes, that has nothing to do with the location of Metro's jurisdictional boundary. It has to do with other boundaries. There's a federal metropolitan planning area that is established through census data, not by metro data, and that's the basis of the boundary that we have. Some of the testifiers already mentioned, there are urban-rural reserves. There's the urban growth boundary, which does not bisect boring. They're entirely outside the urban growth boundary. Council President Hughes can tell you about a situation in his community of Hillsborough when he was mayor, when he discovered that there was an area outside Metro's jurisdictional boundary, but inside the UGB and inside the city that was treated essentially no differently than the area on the other side of the jurisdictional boundary. Finally, I'd like to just note that it seems like one of the basic premises of the bill is that boring is separate from the metropolitan region, and obviously there are certain ways in which the community is unique and has its own identity, and no one wants to take anything away from that. But it's also inextricably linked to the rest of the larger region. The data that we have show that about 3/4 of the work trips that originate in the area in boring that is inside Metro's boundary and within Metro's urban growth boundary. And according to the U.S. Census, about 70% of the residents of boring work inside Metro's UGB. About 1/3 of the boring residents apparently work in the city of Portland. Non-work trips show a similar pattern. So this is a part of the larger community. Obviously, people have their local identities, and that's fine, and that's great, and no one's trying to change any of that. But the federal government recognized the reality of the way the urban area functions including a portion of boring within the federally designated metropolitan planning area, for which the transportation planning is done by the local metropolitan planning organization, and that's Metro. So I'll just leave you with those few introductory points and then let Council President Hughes make some comments.
Thank you, Randy. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to come chat with you about this today. And because we're from Metro, we bring maps, which is kind of one of our specialties. And the one that I have up now in the hatched area shows the boring CPO and the relative zoning for the areas both around that CPO and also central to the CPO. And you'll notice that there is a section in the middle that is zoned and for both commercial and some for residential. Let me see the second, because I want to see the one that's got the Metro boundary. Okay, this is the one that's got, is that the Metro boundary?
No, then I think it's the next one.
Okay, so there's
blue one.
The boring area in the blue map. The blue line on the map is the Metro district. There is no difference between, there is no rule that Metro has that would make development in the land inside the Metro boundary different than the land outside the Metro boundary. What makes the difference is whether or not it's in the urban growth boundary, whether or not it's in urban reserve, whether or not it's in rural reserve. If it's not in the urban growth boundary, which none of this is, and we probably have a map that shows that too, right? Is that the early one?
The urban growth boundary is the yellow line here.
Okay, yellow line is urban growth boundary, and the blue line is the metro district boundary. If you're in order to either incorporate or to do significant urbanization, you have to be inside the urban growth boundary. To be inside the urban growth boundary, you have to have a comprehensive plan or a fairly consistent or considerable plan developed, and a community that's willing to say, we want this property to be brought in, and we're willing to administer it, and we're willing to take care of it. In the case of Damascus, Clackamas County moved us in that direction and then helped with the creation of the city of Damascus, and then Damascus was theoretically the city that was going to do that. And that, as we know, has had some problems with it. But the point, I guess, here is if the residents of Boring went to their county commissioners and said at some future time, we would like to see Boring brought into the urban growth boundary and developed into an urban area, that's perfectly consistent. There's a process to do that, and it would take a while, but it is conceivable if that was their choice. There is not a way under the current situation, at least in the foreseeable future, where Gresham or any of the other cities around Boring is going to be in a position to say, we would like to have Boring brought into the urban growth boundary now. So there's, within probably the next 20 years, there isn't a chance that Boring is going to get brought into the urban growth boundary unless that's what the people in that area want and unless they stimulate that discussion. As it exists now, currently, the land that is outside the urban growth boundary is administered under land use rules by Clackamas County. And the Clackamas County rules, of course, have to follow LCDC. So you have the state planning rules and then the county's application of those state planning rules to the area that is known as Boring. And the difference would be, the significant difference would be, if you're inside the urban reserves, then the current zoning is frozen, according to state law, and so you can't change that zoning.
There you go.
That's the darker green, or the darker green is
rural reserves, and the lighter green is urban reserves.
Right. So you can see the part that's in urban reserves. It basically consistent with that area you will recall that was sort of in the central area of Boring that had commercial designations. So I don't know enough about county planning rules to know whether Clackamas County would allow a supermarket in a rural commercial zone. But it would be dependent upon that zoning and not upon any rule that Metro has. So Metro has no rule that if you're in the Metro district, you can't build a supermarket in a rural zone. And the story that Randy referred to is an area in Northwest Hillsboro that, and literally I'd spent 4 years on the city council, 15 years on the planning commission, 8 years as mayor, and I didn't discover that it was outside of Metro's jurisdiction until I went out there for a coffee when I was running for Metro president, and the people began to talk about how they weren't paying taxes to Metro. And we looked at their ballot, which had just come in, and it turned out I wasn't even on their ballot either. So we had never treated that property. It had been in the urban growth boundary. It had been annexed to the city of Hillsboro. It had been planned and developed, all being outside of Metro's jurisdiction, and nobody in the city limits either knew that or thought it was important enough to tell anybody else about. And certainly the leadership of the community didn't know that that was true. So the distinction of being in Metro or not in Metro is virtually non-existent. One of the things that makes you kind of wonder what benefit then is there to the property owners of withdrawing from Metro. And I think Sharon touched on it a little bit. There might be a tax advantage, except that even the tax advantage isn't as powerful as some might think. We currently charge about 45 cents a thousand as the combined rate of all of our various taxes in Metro. Of which about 9.5 cents is a permanent levy that goes to support the zoo, and the rest are bond levies for open space and bond levies to support construction at the zoo. And then there's another category that's this most recent levy that we passed to do the maintenance on our outdoor space. The best information that we have from bond council is that those two larger tax rates, which support the bonds, would continue on the properties even if they withdrew from the Metro boundary, because they become a lien on the property because they're supporting the payback of general obligation bonds. And so the total amount of even of tax savings would amount to somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 per $100,000 of assessed value as near as we can tell from the information we have. So it is a bill that sets a dangerous precedent without tangible benefit to anybody. So we would urge you not to pass it. Happy to answer questions.
Any questions for this panel? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go on to the next folks. Michael, Jack, and Les. Fitz, Jack Esp, and Les Poole. You can pick, or I've got Michael first from a sign-up standpoint.
You want me to?
Go. He said Michael first.
Okay. Gentlemen, my name is Michael Fitz. I have the highly compensated job of being chair of the boring CPO. I've only been in that position for about 6 months. But I do know a little bit about the legislature, having run in North Portland 3 times. And I know that every one of you ran for office promoting jobs. Every one of you ran for office promoting small business. Jobs make strong families. Businesses make products. And everyone that voted for you expects you to vote taking the best interests of the people involved in the state of Oregon. And they really expect you not to be involved in special interests. In 1978, we were told there was going to be this amazing new government. And as the, at that time, the 25th largest urban area in the country, we were going to lead the country and have a thing called Metro. And that before the century ended, all of the other 25 urban areas would copy us because it was such a great idea. It seems that the other 49 states think it was a bad idea. You want an example? In a state that's more than 50% owned by the government, Metro has taken 16,000 acres off the school tax rolls in the Portland metropolitan area in a time when all of you are talking about funding for education. And when Tesla tried to come to Oregon, even though Metro owns 16,000 acres, they have told the world that we couldn't show them a single piece of ground to build on because of our laws, regulations. When you look at whether or not Metro helps jobs in the boring area, we have Mount Hood Polaris, 12 employees who drive less than 5 miles back and forth to work. Their suppliers tell them if they don't have a 10,000 square foot showroom, they're not going to be supplied, and they will probably be forced to move to Gresham. Boring is split. I live in Metro. My horse lives outside of Metro. The ground my horse lives on is worth more than the ground I live on. Why? Because it's outside of Metro. 2 nights ago, when I came home from the boring CPO meeting, rather late for me, there was a cougar in my backyard killing two of the neighbor's cats. And because I live in Metro, even though I have a cougar tag, I couldn't shoot it. If the cougar'd been up where my horse lives, he'd be at a taxidermist right now. If you went into the boring library and opened up the Webster Dictionary and looked up the word determined, you would see Steve Bates's picture. You look up the word pig-headed, you'll see my picture. Now, gentlemen, discretion is the better part of valor. We're not going away. Let boring go.
Jack.
Okay. Sorry. Forgot what
you... Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow members of the committee. I'm short and sweet. I don't live in Boring. I happen to live outside of Silverton. But I look at this issue. I'm a member of the Oregon Citizens Lobby, and I look at this on the 5 points that we are founded on.
I'm not sure he identified. Jack, I want to make sure you're on the record.
Oh, you have to say your name, too,
oh,
back to me.
Jack.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm with Oregon Citizens Lobby on this campaign. There's 2 points that I think that the committee should look at. First one is personal choice and responsibility. Metro puts an additional layer of government over the people under Metro in the Boring area. As previous speaker mentioned, there's two rules side by side. I think it's important that you, as our legislators, stand up for personal choice and responsibility. Now, this move, I know I have my opinions, and that's exactly what they are as opinions, probably should be referred to the voters in that area, whether they want to go this route or not. Not made by our state legislators. They aren't living there. They aren't the ones that are paying the expense. They aren't the ones whose property value is affected, pro or con. They're the ones dealing with this issue. Second to that is local control. That starts back in Washington, D.C., and filters down through the states, the counties, the cities, etc. Local control is where most decisions should be made, because it'll be made by people who are directly affected and know the situation and problems in the fullest degree. I appreciate the time you gentlemen spend here and the time you spend away from here reviewing these bills, analyzing these bills, your staff, etc. But in all due respect, in that period of time, you cannot familiarize yourself with everything that's going on in these local communities. I think it's important to get these decisions down as local as we possibly can. Now, what I heard early in this testimony is that this might even be too early to be making a decision. There are more things that need to be looked into. I don't know that. I'm not involved in it that closely. But if that's the fact, maybe the decision like this shouldn't be made now until that's looked into, and maybe we should be referring this to the local people that are directly involved and not having the bureaucracy of another layer of government running their lives. Thank you.
Les Poole, longtime land use specialist, and my background isn't as a professional developer. It's from having a father that bought property and could see that the growth was coming. So I've had the pleasure of owning property and working on property and working with my neighbors all around the growth boundary. And I do want to thank Representative Kenemer for introducing this, and I want to thank Steve Bates for his dedication. And I'm a lot like Steve. If you ask anyone in Clackamas County, I don't go away. I will not ask you to look up the definition of me in the dictionary, because I'm not sure what you'll find. There's no doubt that Metro opposes this. When Steve testified at a Metro meeting, just as a citizen making a communication, I saw something I've very rarely seen, and that was an attempt to argue that there is no divide, everyone will be treated the same, and that came immediately after Steve's testimony. Normally, you don't receive any kind of rebuttal or response when you walk in and make your testimony at Metro as a citizen who's not involved in the public hearing. I found that troubling, and I think the bigger issue here is that we all know what's happened with the grand bargain. We all know that there's been an ongoing problem with how Goal 14 is administered. There's been a lot of unnecessary just completely unnecessary and avoidable confusion and millions wasted in administration of property that is around the Portland region. And I'm referring, of course, to the Damascus area and more specifically here to Boring. I think it's a specious argument to say that Boring won't be treated differently with this line down the middle of it. Metro's not an ordinary service district by any stretch of the imagination, and none of us can predict what will happen with the growth boundary 20 years from now, but I can predict that the time will pass quicker than we think, and certainly this issue needs to be resolved now rather than, as they say, kick down the road like so many cans. I would ask that you look at honoring the request to take this 2640 and amend HB 3543 with it. This is a conversation that certainly is not going to end, and Boring is one example of many. So you're going to keep hearing about this, whether it's Stafford, Washington County, Helvetia, for a boring place like Damascus. One thing I can tell you for sure is that the citizens in the area are more and more concerned about what's been going on as growth comes. And local control is a big issue for me. And this offers local control and a local voice for the citizens about their future. And the last thing I would say is that a suggestion was made at one point that, well, we just redraw the CPO boundary. What's that going to do for Boring? That is not a reasonable solution at all. So please move this forward, and I thank you for your time as always.
Questions? Yeah, Representative Wendt.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a question, but I got a comment, if I might. I've sat through this session, and we have had bill after bill come before this committee where we have been asked to resolve problems with our land use planning laws. And it's got to be at least a dozen by now. I don't know how many this is with Boring alone that we've had before this committee this year. But as a practitioner of labor relations, preparing for contract negotiations, if I had a dozen grievances over a certain part of a labor agreement, I would know that is something that needed to be addressed in negotiations. There was something fundamentally wrong. And I can virtually guarantee you that management would not disagree with me. They would be of the same opinion. And this suggests to me that we've got some problems here that we have created for a lot of good folks in this state. Now, if folks were just coming and saying, I don't like land use planning, get rid of it, I would be dismissive of that. But people are coming with what I consider to be bona fide problems over and over and over again. There is something fundamentally wrong here that are causing these folks to come forward. And I'm troubled by the testimony I hear. We had one witness who said today that there are more ag lands inside the UGB than outside in the area that's up for consideration. We had other testimony today that said that now this is a permanent situation, and we had another witness who suggested, I think, follow the money. Now, one conclusion that I could draw here, and I'm not pleased with the conclusion, is that somebody stuck a lot of ag lands inside the UGB so they'd never be developed. Whether that's the case or not, I don't know, but it certainly seems like it's probably a quasi-permanent situation at this point. And the bottom line here, Mr. Chairman, I am frustrated because it seems like folks have gamed the system. And it's not working. Now, I'm not suggesting that all of our land use planning laws are bankrupt. Not in the least. But we have definitely, it is my impression, based on the number of complaints that we've had before this committee, this session, we have got some problems with our land use planning laws that need to be addressed.
Further, Vice Chair Helm.
Reading my brain again, aren't you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question of local control is interesting, and Les, you may have followed this a little, but maybe the rest of the folks from Boring, not so much. But over in Damascus, they just went through a years-long rigmarole where they wanted to incorporate, and they tried it because they tried to get people together. They tried to pass a comprehensive plan, and they couldn't agree on that. And eventually they had to come and ask for us to create a process that would allow them to disincorporate and send all the tax money that they collected back. So along the, you know, they tried what you're proposing, and I wondered if in your community and around Boring, you've tried to incorporate as a town, or have you tried to get folks to come together and become a hamlet or any sort of organized municipal entity?
Could I respond real quickly? Yes, there was an effort. Clackamas County has their Complete Communities program, which establishes hamlets and villages. Mount Hood is a village. And as the Damascus, I'll call it debacle, was moving along, I believe it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, there was a vote in Boring to possibly form a hamlet, and that went down soundly. And I think the message was,
five votes.
Was it that close?
I just researched it, yes.
Thank you. Thank you for the correction. But that effort did take place. But I think there's some hesitancy on the community because we've got paralysis. And, of course, as you all know, right next door to Boring, bordering Boring, is Damascus. So they're looking over the fence with a very wary eye. But I do appreciate your question.
Well, yeah, let's explore this for a little bit because I'm a little confused, and maybe there's not one opinion within the CPO about what they want to happen, because some of the testimony sounded like maybe we need to have more of what's, because it's not a city, I don't know what the right term is, but I'm just going to call it Boring, whatever that means. It's a community that people have regardless of its boundaries. So what I don't know is, would it like to be more urbanized and have more job, industrial type jobs? Would it like to stay? Well, it's not completely rural now, I know. There's a lot of, like a kind of a little downtown area. Would it like to be more rural? Some people want to be more urbanized and develop, and some don't want that. Where are we at here? Because that seems to be what we heard when we had Damascus. You had some landowners who were very frustrated they couldn't develop, and others who I don't think that want their neighbors to develop. Yeah, and you're the chair, so tell us.
My name's Mike Fitz. My son, Mark Fitz, is the chair of the planning committee in the city of Damascus. And you're looking at personalities. That's about people arguing. In Boring, we do tend to have different sides to each question. One of the amazing things is when I went out and helped Steve collect signatures, over 90% of the people I asked signed the petition. So do they agree on wanting to be out of Boring?
Or Metro.
Want to be out of Metro? Do they agree on that? Yes. I've only been out there 4 years from North Portland, out in what you guys would call the St. John's area. I've circulated petitions on a lot of different things. It's really amazing how much the people in Boring know there's a CPO. People in St. John's don't even know there's neighborhood association. The people in Boring know about the land laws. I've got a farmer. I had to set him up with the county to do it. I had a farmer on one side of the line that said he couldn't build a barn. They stopped him. And his competitor on the other side of the line said, took me 5 minutes to get an electrical permit for the barn I built without a permit. So things go along like that. I would personally say that the problem with us advancing to either a hamlet, a village, or a city is that 95% of the people in Boring do not want to see residential development on a lot size smaller than 1 acre. That 95% of the people in Boring do not want to consider a bigger sewage treatment facility and the bonding measure that goes with it. And I would say that 95% of the people in Boring do not want to see a 50,000 square foot tilt up cement anything, whether it's a grocery store or whatever. But right now, we're limited that we cannot build a structure over 4,000 feet for commercial activity.
So is it, I'm just trying to remember how all this ties together. So if you were out of Metro, but still not a city, then you wouldn't be working with the Metro region's urban growth boundary. You'd just be sitting out in the county with just normal land use laws for probably a whole lot of EFU, which isn't going to, that would accomplish what you just described, which was largely no development, just farming. Do you think that's what people would prefer, is not to develop, not have, just basically be rural residents?
And the capability of making sure that we do have some commercial and industrial land available for a business that expands, like the motorcycle shop that needs to expand, that can't right now in our backyard, and we can do that by going to the county. We just watched Everfresh Fruit Company get approval for filing building permits for a 63,000 square foot addition to their building in Boring, where they employ 89 people and have had a help wanted sign on the street for the whole 4 years that I've lived there. That was able to be done through the county. But again, that's outside the metro boundary. And then the other thing to look at is that you're looking at the CPO boundary on the map. But there's a heck of a lot more people in what they consider to be Boring, because the zip code 97009, instead of having the approximate 8,000 residents of the CPO, has about 12,500 residents whose mailing address is Boring. And we welcome all of those people to come to our CPO meetings.
So one more, for a second, I want to go to Vice Chair Post. So do you feel like, so sometimes the reason cities at least don't want to be in Metro is they want to expand more quickly, they'd like to have their own urban growth boundary and grow more quickly. That doesn't sound like that's the case here, where you would want to, you think Metro's slowing down your growth. If anything, people seem to be worried about that there would be more growth.
It's affecting landfill. It's affecting the values of houses, one side of the street versus the other side of the street, when we see the houses sell.
But I'm still trying to just capture, would you rather, like, say, all be, if, instead of being divided, would you rather all be in or all be out?
All be out.
And the result of that would mean less development or more, do you think?
It depends on what the county allows us to do, but we believe that we're
better off. I mean, and they're living under state land use laws.
You know, I should defer. I told you, I've been the CPO chair for 6 months.
Yeah, sir.
Steve Bates is sitting beside me. Would you address that question to him, please?
Yeah, sir. I'll let Vice Chair Post while I get you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe more, Mr. Fitz, because of the things that you've said to jog. And to go along with what Representative Whitney, again, you know, this is your first year in this committee, too, right? Okay, and this is my first year overall. The amount of this kind of thing going on, okay, I'm a real simple guy, and I don't know anything about land use. I'm learning every day. I remember in the city of Kaiser, when we were, before we became a city of Kaiser, if you asked these same questions, 50% of the people that I know in Kaiser said, well, I don't want Kaiser Station. And this is long before we even thought of Kaiser Station. I'm talking when we were thinking about becoming a town. So it's very similar to what I'm hearing here. And 50% of the people say, oh, yeah, boy, I can't wait till we have, skyscrapers here. So that's been my question.
We just don't want Salem to take us over.
We just don't want Salem. We hate Salem. Just don't make that on the record. We hate Salem. I wasn't even here then. Hate Metro. Not my fault. Way more. I guarantee you.
I don't hate Metro.
No, but I hate Salem. I'm more than willing to say that. I hate Salem. The fact that I have to drive in here every day makes me sick. Okay. So anyway.
He just upped his vote totals in Kaiser by like another 15%.
But let me finish with my thought here. I'm formulating a thought here. It takes me a while sometimes. Okay. My thing is, so we got together and we eventually created the city of Kaiser, and we have a little of both. There are farms just in town. There's Kaiser Station. Can't stand it myself personally. I can't stand the fact that the fruit tree grove that I used to live next to is now subdivisions. I hate all that. But on the other hand, it's his land. So here's my land use. Here's Representative Bill Post's land use laws. If it's your land, build whatever you want. I don't care. If I don't like it, I'll pick up and move. Now, I'm a simple guy. Maybe that's too simple for land use. Maybe that's the problem. But I have a guy that lives behind me that is wanting to put in four houses, and it makes me sick. I hate that there's going to be four houses behind me. But it's his doggone land. That's how I feel about land use. So does that now frame what's going to make boring happy?
Your look at land use works for the whole state of Texas. And I believe that's a growing economy. Trying to be as forthright as I know how, a lot of that has to do with the people, whether or not they want to sit on their piece of ground for the next 20 years, or they're my age. For me, I want to sit and stay and let my kids take care of it after I'm gone. But we've got people that are getting up in years that would like to take their five-acre plot and break off one or two lots so that they can do that. And generally, the neighbors go along with it. We've had some splits during the 6 months that I've been there. But I will tell you that, I think Boring wants a new 30,000 square foot motorcycle shop downtown because they're good people and they're not a problem. We'd like to see our brewery grow, and it's right across the street from me. But do we want anything that even looks like Kaiser Station? Do we want anything that big? No. We just soon drive to Damascus or drive to Sandy. But we want control in the whole thing. And the biggest deal for me is the difference in land values. And my wife bought the house when I was hunting. If I figured I was going from a 5-minute commute to the office to a 36-minute commute to the office, and she had me inside the metro boundary, I wouldn't have even looked at the house because of the difference in the rules.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
One thing I see in all this is when it comes to land use planning, with what's affecting in Oregon right now, Bend is a good example. Out-of-state people coming in, buying large quantities of land, and then developing it in subdivisions and shopping centers, etc., which I'm a rural person, always have been. And this is Damascus, Boring to me is rural area. It's not metropolitan. People that have chosen to live there are looking for a rural setting, not mass expansion, except those that want to sell their land off for big profits. But the long-term residents is looking for a nice, congenial place to live. And they don't want this big influx of people. Why do people live out in Silverton? They don't want to live in Salem. They want a more rural, less populated area, and that's where I see Boring.
Well, let me just start. Okay, you talked about how government. You just described then government needs to step in and tell those people they can't sell their land to that big industrial guy from California.
No, that's their land. They can make their own choice.
Exactly. And that's what I see every day is people whining about, well, they're going to build a subdivision next door to me. They're going to build a casino next door, whatever it is. It's their land. I don't care if he's from California, New York, or Bend. It's their land. Don't sell it if you don't want it to be developed. That's my simpleton approach. That's less government.
Could I add a couple of things real quick? I know we need to wrap up here. boring like Damascus, it's got very limited thoroughfares. So obviously on Highway 212, the connector from Clackamas to Highway 26, they would encourage some development and welcome it. But beyond that, a lot of it is ag land. North of there, there's buttes and a big geographic barrier to Gresham and that area. So part of its geography and the fact that this is a rural community that, unlike Kaiser, that was right next to the freeway, right next to Salem, and the development and the population growth was coming regardless, Boring is much more boring, as I could say. And so what we're seeing is Metro, which is to administer the urban areas, the urban centers and the urban region, it's got some quirky boundaries. And I'll close by saying, do any of you know how we got there? How did we get this boundary in the first place? Well, back in the late 70s, trying to look through a microscope of the future, very little attention was paid to where that boundary would be. There was much more focus closer into Portland for obvious reasons. So they chose the DEQ boundary that was established in 1976. That was extremely arbitrary. So again, this discussion we're having and is very, very productive. And in my first comments earlier, I said this begs a bigger discussion. I want to thank Representative Witt and the rest of you for having it. And this needs to continue. And one way to continue that is to move this forward. And I thank you again for your time.
I also realized somebody else had signed up since I thought I had called everybody. So I'm going to see if any more questions for this group and then ask Tracy, our other witness, to come on. Is Tracy Hensley here still? Come on up.
Boundary and what can be built. I was going to ask if your permission to have Metro folks.
Yeah. And after this, we've got a question for Metro again, so we might ask you guys to come back up. But please first share with us your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Clem, Vice Chairs Post and Hellman, members of the committee. My name is Tracy Hensley. I actually live in Canby, Oregon, not in Boring, but I do have friends who live in Boring. And I've been listening to this testimony, and I too, Representative Post, sign on to the simple land use law. So I enjoy those comments. And Representative Witt, I agree 100% that this is a larger issue. State land use laws are fundamentally wrong, and this is all indicative of that. However, it took decades to get here. And today, you folks are presented with an opportunity to help one community. And I heard Metro Council President Hughes say that whether inside Metro or outside Metro, it doesn't make any difference to development. So then that begs the question in my head, so what's in it for Boring? We know what's in it for Metro. There's a bigger tax base. We don't know what's in it for Boring. I hear the community members saying it would be beneficial to be released from the Metro jurisdiction and allow the community to grow under local control planning. So I say, why not change that boundary and allow that to happen? I would really encourage you to please consider making this bill part of, as an amendment to House Bill 3543. Or at least maybe go with Representative Kenmer's idea of a work group or maybe some kind of mediation to solve this problem for the members of the community of Boring. Thank you.
Any questions for Tracy? Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Do you want Tom and Randy here?
Yeah.
Maybe Wolf?
Yes, please. Before, if, with the indulgence of the chair, Representative Witt and Representative Post, I'd suggest I have a slightly different view on these types of bills that come to us with requests that we, as a state legislature, solve their local problem. And that is, throughout the state, planning commissions, county commissions, city councils, and planning commissions of cities are making hundreds and probably thousands of land use decisions at the local level every year in a way that's collaborative, that follows their local plans, and works just fine. And
the way that it works just fine is folks have come together and agreed on their planning documents and are willing, when new proposals come to that jurisdiction, to follow the law as it is. And if there are changes that need to be made, you do that in a local legislative process that everybody can participate in. So I think we should be proud that we only get a few of these each year. And the other way that I think is useful to look at this is sometimes we're getting efforts like this where a certain number of folks just aren't satisfied with the way the politics has worked out at the local level for them. It's not a fundamental problem with how that community is trying to run their land use. It's that these folks don't like the outcome. Here, it's my remembrance and opinion that metro jurisdictional boundary is irrelevant to the land use that goes on inside of it, except to the extent of where the UGB is drawn. So these folks' problem isn't with the metro jurisdictional boundary and where it is or it isn't, but it's where the UGB is and where the urban and rural reserves have been designated. I think they can go to the county and get their rural industrial, rural commercial, or whatever, or at least try to do that, and I don't see any impediments, which is why I asked, what have you tried to do? So I would like if the two of you could confirm whether my remembrance of the impact of the metro jurisdictional boundary is correct or not.
Representative Chair Clem and Representative Helm, let me take a stab at that. I think you've summarized it exactly. Metro has no rules within its jurisdiction other than within its jurisdiction for property within the urban growth boundary, which doesn't speak to any of the property in Boring. But within its jurisdiction, we don't have any rules prohibiting rural commercial. We don't have any restrictions restricting rural residential. That's up to Clackamas County and how they apply their version of the statewide rules. We certainly don't have any hunting laws that we enforce in Metro. So as far as, I think I'm pretty safe in saying that if you're not in a city limits, if you're in an area where you can legally discharge a firearm and you have a tag to hunt game, shoot away, because there is no Metro authority that's going to come out and arrest you for shooting a cougar within Metro's jurisdiction. And as a result of that, I've never looked at the property in Boring, so I can't say this for a fact, but I have looked at properties in Hillsboro, and I can tell you that there is literally no difference in price between a comparable home outside Metro's jurisdiction or inside Metro's jurisdiction in the city of Hillsboro. And in some cases, they're just across the street from each other. So I am really not so sure why the jurisdictional boundary has anything to do with housing prices either or property values.
Thank you. I might add that not only do we not have, Randy Tucker, Metro, not only do we not have anyone that's going to come and arrest anybody for shooting a firearm, we don't have anybody that can arrest anybody for anything. We have no law enforcement arm. One reason why our property taxes are so minimal. We're not a full service government. We do certain specific things. We don't pretend to do some of the things that a city would do. We don't have a permit counter, so we can't deny a permit. We don't do any of that. That's a local decision by the cities or the counties in the case of a piece of land that's outside of a city.
And so until they change that by some action of themselves in incorporation, the local government, the local voice for Boring is Clackamas County.
That helps me. Thank you.
Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, just a casual observation, and I respond to Vice Chair Helm, but not unlike that labor agreement, which is 90% sound. Both parties agree to it. There's that 10% that doesn't work and needs to be changed, and I'm finding that over and over and over again in this committee, it doesn't work for a lot of people. And again, these are not folks that are coming here and just being dismissive of land use laws. They're coming here with specific problems that the laws have created for them. Now, whether we agree with that or not, it is nonetheless a problem for a number of good folks. I find it hard to believe that we would split a community in half and treat one half differently than the other. And I don't know how many of us sitting here would like to have the towns that we live in split in half and treated differently. I'm telling you, it wouldn't go over in my community. People would rise in revolt. Now, I'm not saying that, again, I'm not suggesting that that's necessarily problems with a land use law. But we have created problems for some of these good folks that need to be addressed, and I think needs to be addressed in somewhat of a comprehensive fashion relevant to that portion that creates continual problems, whether it's Boring or any of the other communities that we've had to deal with these problems this session. I don't know how many more folks have to come before us with problems before it's suggestive of a need for a change.
The problem I'm seeing, trying to look across all the bills, is some of them are wildly different. Like all the Stafford stuff was people who don't want it to become an urban area versus people who do want it to become an urban area. And so their local county, actually I think their county didn't have a position on what should happen there because he had people both sides on the issue. I think that finally their position was, they had changed several times, but I think in the end, when it came to Stafford, it was, we should basically keep talking with Metro about how to get some of it more industrial. I mean, the county's position was, we're worried about job lands. The hamlet didn't want their farms to be taken up by job lands, and so both sides wanted us to pick, which we obviously declined to do and just left it up to them. The Damascus thing, I think, is more like Boring in some ways, where there's a community that they either felt needed to become a city in order to avoid something worse, almost like Kaiser, actually. And so they put all these limitations on themselves to not really be a city because they can never tax themselves, really spend money or do a comp plan, but they thought it would avoid the state, basically, or Metro or somebody controlling their future, so they tried to make their own. And here it sort of feels like that's the point. Probably doesn't sound like want to be a city either, but don't probably like the state land use laws maybe either, and would prefer to figure out a way to go more like Representative Post's strategy of just sort of property by property almost. So I'm not exactly sure what to do about all these different things besides do what we did in some of the other cases, which is try and get some people to a work group and keep talking, because this is, I think, probably not the case. Stafford, for example, my opinion after listening to it all, is the thing that was called the Stafford Compromise. I went and drove up there and saw what it would look like. There's a whole lot of area up there that I don't think is particularly developable for any kind of industrial activity at all. They could be view homes, but other than that, right now they're farms. They're on big, steep hillsides, and you can't get any factories up there. But the lower flat stuff, you actually could. So there's almost a working consensus within that area of maybe how you would redo the designation of that whole thing as urban to split it up. And that kind of made sense to me. The Damascus, we're just going to let them vote, I guess, and see what happens. But I assume they're going to be back in the same spot you are when they're all of a sudden unincorporated, which is half of them are going to want to get into a city so they can develop, and the other half are going to hope that that doesn't happen. And I think then we're back to Representative Post model, probably, of you just deal with each other one-on-one if you can and move if you don't like it. And for you all, it seems like one thing I at least personally want to continue to sort out is I think of Metro as a service provider of, like, the landfills and you know, they buy parks and things like that. So I still want to sort out if all of your problems are the Metro question or the state land use laws question versus Metro.
because I'm not 100% sure that it's not the latter. Because Clackamas County, while they can enact local things, they're still living within the EFU structure that the state has laid down. They can't just do whatever they want there, obviously, without LCDC or someone looking into what they're doing. And then we get those bills, too, where Clackamas County will come and say, hey, Howell's Paving can't do what they want without getting an exception of the statewide land use, and then we spend a bunch of time working it out. Now, having said that, on the alternative side of doing Representative Post theory, we have an orchard in Hood River. If that farming district that were created first by nature and then later by land use laws in Hood River County, and we before land use planning, Hood River County had already protected a lot of these areas as for agricultural areas. You would lose at some point the agricultural infrastructure there because it's such a beautiful view area that enough people like me at some point would sell to a developer to build houses, and then the other farmers would have a heck of a time still going because people would be very upset about the spray and the pesticides, and all the little rural roads would need to be upgraded to bigger roads, and all of us that are part of co-ops and ag implement stores, eventually you dwindle to the point where there's only half left, and so then they're not big enough. And so that's the challenge of not having farming districts. Now, half of the state should be irrelevant probably from being called the EFU that is. I will say that right now. But the ones that are really valuable, I think it is a pretty valuable area. We're having quite a land use treat here from all of us. But
Mr. Chairman, if I could
interrupt briefly.
A couple of things. First of all, I did want to respond to the last testifier and her question of what's in it for boring in terms of Metro. And I think one of the things that that will not be affected by your decision or our decision or anything else is this area, the area of boring that is currently in Metro's jurisdiction, will remain inside the federal metropolitan planning authority area designated by the federal government. That's not going to go away. And what that means is Metro will continue to plan for the transportation needs of this particular area, whether they're in Metro or not in Metro. So I guess one view of a local voice is if you want to be part of the discussion, you've got to be at the table. Otherwise, we will make the decisions anyway, and they may not be a benefit from that discussion. The other way is just as a kind of an outsider to your process, but looking at it relative to our process as to why you may be seeing more land use bills this session than before. We noticed an uptick in interest in land use development whenever we began the process of doing an urban growth boundary expansion. And so I think a lot of what you're seeing now is chatter that winds up becoming legislation as a result of land use decisions that are being made around the urban growth boundary expansion. And secondly, and I think, forgive me for reminding you, but the conversation
I know where this is going, and you're right.
Yeah.
Come on.
But you guys, when you opened that door in the last session with the grand bargain, I think that you know, despite the fact that in the end we all supported it. So I'm not accusing
you
of something.
We're blaming Mr. Jillian's right now, not any of us.
We weren't here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But, you sort of set up a flag that said, come talk about your local land use issues here. And so, you know, this is maybe another example of that.
I'm concerned that Representative Gilliam hasn't really
if people would stop
cutting down Christmas trees using a pagan symbol for a Christian holiday, your area would be nice suburban land, and we could build hundreds and maybe thousands of houses in your area.
Thank you, Representative. Some call it rigmarole, some call it debacle. I'm with Representative Wood.
Some call it rigor mortis.
Mr. Chair, if I may just
add. We're starting to lose our
yeah,
so we'll close up here.
Just one brief comment in response to what you and Council President Hughes just said. I chased Representative Gilliam out after a previous hearing just to make the comment that the fact that there's disagreement does not mean that the system is broken. It means there are different opinions, and they get worked out the same way you as legislators have disagreement, and yet the democratic process and the way the legislature works is not broken. It's just the reality that land use is a very touchy subject and that it affects people's lives. And as you've pointed out from the chair today, people have different opinions on it. And so that's why we are here talking about it.
And while I don't, Mr. Chair, like to be chased by somebody as tall,
he statuesque, I think.
He had a good point.
So that reminded me of a question I had earlier. What is the process for amending Metro's boundary? Is there a local process? Can Metro amend its own? Can people petition to have it amended? Like, I don't even know how it got set and how it grows, because this is asking us to change your boundary. Right. But what is the boundary?
You know, I think I can answer. I can give you at least a partial answer, and I will begin with a caveat that you'd want to talk to one of the smarter people that work for us rather than me. When Metro expands the urban growth boundary, the legislature passed a law a few years ago, 4 to 6 years ago, saying that in the future, when the UGB expands Metro's and it goes beyond Metro's jurisdictional boundary, the jurisdictional boundary goes out with it, because you can't generally develop in that area until it's come into the Metro jurisdictional boundary. The situation that Council President Hughes is discussing, I believe, has to do with development that occurred earlier. And then there's a process for the areas that were already in the urban growth boundary but outside Metro's jurisdictional boundary prior to the passage of this bill that I just mentioned. For them to come in on a sort of a consent-based process. I believe it's a triple majority process. And it can go both ways. We can approach them, they can approach us, but I believe it's a consent-based process for coming into the boundary in the future. I don't believe there's a process for coming out of the boundary.
That's what I wondered, yeah, if somebody could have petitioned you instead of us for this, but no.
I would think if there were a process, it would be at the county level rather than at the Metro level, would be my guess.
Mr. Chair, I seriously suspect that we lack authority to change the boundary of a home rule charter entity. And even if we did, I'm sure not going to be the one raising my hand to tell all the cities in the state that we by legislative fiat can change the boundaries of their city limits. Right.
That may not be a flag you want to raise.
My question is more the other way, which is if you want to then not do it here, you direct people to go to their local governments, but it sounds like they couldn't even if they wanted to. Even if you had a majority of the Metro Council who wanted to put boring all the way out instead of all the way in, it only goes one direction, out, not in.
At least I'm not aware of a process.
I'm not aware of a process at the city level, quite frankly, other than the one that you guys have created for Damascus.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. We will, I'm sure, not be done talking about land use issues, but for today we are going to be.
Okay.
I don't know.
We are released.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, thanks, guys. Let me close the public hearing on House Bill 2640. So to answer my own question, there's a House bill in the Rules Committee. This is the one that they were just talking about that would allow for electors within a UGB, urban reserve, rural reserve, to petition a county board for withdrawal. But that's not current law, so I'll have to go find out what current law is, if there is anyway.
Chair Clem, if I may.
Come back up then and identify yourself real quick.
Steve Bates for the
Hold
record.
On, let me reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2640.
Thank you, Chair Clem. I did a lot of research before we started the petition process. ORS 268 does not include any withdrawal verbiage whatsoever. That's why House Bill 3543 is before you. We did the petition, and it was addressed to the Metro Council. They ignored it. It was also addressed to the state legislature because in ORS 268, the boundaries for Metro are declared by state law. And essentially what 2640 does is it amends the verbiage in the ORS that takes boring out of that metro boundary, which is described in the ORS. And it was established, if I can't remember what year, I think the subnote in the ORS 268, I think, was dated in 1999 or 2004 was the last time that the state legislature changed the boundary for the metropolitan area for the Portland area.
And the boundary itself can't be established in state law because it sounds like we gave them authority to move it out, and then we'd have to come back in and
it
write
was
it.
Not.
If, I mean, little yeah. like tract parcel townships aren't listed in the statute.
Yeah, and I'm not an attorney, and I don't choose to argue the point other than the fact that the description of the metro boundary is in the Oregon Revised Statutes in ORS 268. And
I can check in. Yeah, we do have a land use yes. attorney right here.
So and 2640 was meant to amend that verbiage.
So, Vice Chair Helm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Those changes, which occurred while I was staff attorney at Metro, were meant to conform state statute to Metro's home rule charter. So, whether the statute contains withdrawal language or not isn't necessarily controlling. But the charter may itself have that language or not. But there was conforming language amended into the state statute during those years to make sure that the charter and the statute were consistent as people were looking into the statute for guidance about how Metro was formulated and how it's supposed to work.
Okay, with that, I really am going to close the hearing now because we were out of the room 2 minutes ago.
Thank you very much, Chair Clem.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. I'm going to close the public hearing again on House Bill 2640. And do we have any – what do we need? Let me tell you about our schedule as I know it, colleagues. We've got – I was trying to consolidate things so we could cancel things if we could.
Do you want me to bring up that now? I mean, we're missing a couple people, but one of the things, it was more I needed help from all of you guys.
We're still in the record, which is fine.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, do you want to not be?
Otherwise, you would have to divide.
Well, I don't know if he's talking about committee issues or just logistics.
Logistics. No, you don't have to be, but...
Would it matter?
Well, the only thing is that you can't have a quorum talking about committee issues if you're not on the record.
Let's just stay in the record and tell us in the mic.
So here's the deal. This is purely personal. The governor is signing my first and only bill on Tuesday at 1:30, and she would like me to be there, obviously. But I want to be here to do whatever we need to do here. And so Ian had a problem of maybe a solution. Perhaps if everybody came here right at 1, we could work everything and I could duck out at 1:30 without missing anything.
Is this the post bill?
It's the cigar shop bill.
No way.
Okay.
So we could either do the work sessions quickly or we could start the whole committee like at 2:00. But I know this airport thing could be a lot of people. So we could do the work sessions quickly first. Yeah, that's no problem.
Representative Post can't get support from members of his own party to do what he wants to do. I don't think I can go along.
Are you in my party?
I think so.
Okay, we're definitely going to close the hearing at this point. I'm pretty sure scheduling could be talked about actually
I'm
with the quorum.
Sure.
Could be talked about actually
I'm
with the
sure.
quorum. I'm pretty sure.